Crime is always a hot topic, and depending on who you ask, you might get a different answer to the question, is crime going up and down? Politics certainly come into play, and you see all kinds of biases all over the place. Joining me by phone right now to shed a little light on this is John Lott. He is the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. John, it is such a pleasure to be able to chat with you.
Well, thanks very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
So, John, you recently wrote this really interesting piece for the Wall Street Journal about the real facts when it comes to where crime stands. Can you shed a little light on that for us?
Sure. Well, a lot of the media right now is out there claiming that violent crime is falling and that, you know, they point to surveys showing that people think that violent crime is increasing, and they go and say that people are mistaken. My own view is that I think the media just doesn't understand the crime statistics very well. I've served as senior advisor for research and statistics in the U.S. Department of Justice. What people have to understand is that there are two measures of crime that we have out there. We have the FBI Uniform Crime Reports, which counts the number of crimes reported to police. And then we have something called the National Crime Victimization Survey, which surveys about 240,000 people a year. They've been doing that for about 50 years. And the point of that is that we know most crimes aren't reported to police. And we know that that changes somewhat over time. And so they try to get a measure of both reported and unreported crimes. And what we find is that reported crimes have been falling over the last couple of years, but unreported crimes have soared. If you look at the FBI crime report data from 2021 and 2022, violent crimes fell by 2%. But according to the National Crime Victimization data, it actually increased, total crime increased by 42%.
That's startling.
Which is startling. You know, you've never seen, in the 50 years of data, there's never been anything like that. And so the question is, why are those two numbers, why is reported crime going down at the same time that total crime is going up? And the media just seems to only want to look at reported crime, even though, as I say, everybody pretty much knows that reported crimes are just a portion of, and less than half, of total crimes. And there's a couple of simple reasons for it, but I think the simplest is just that whether people report crimes to the police depends in part on whether they think you're going to have people caught and punished. And what's happened is that law enforcement in this country has collapsed over the last few years. I'll give you the numbers for large cities with over a million, but you see this across the board. For cities with over a million people, in the 5 years before COVID, 44% of violent crimes resulted in arrest. It started falling in 2020. And by 2022, it was down to 20%. So it went from 44% of reported violent crimes were arrested to just 20% of reported violent crimes. You know, one way to think about this is rather than looking at the percent of reported crimes that result in arrest, looking at the percent of all crimes, all violent crimes that result in arrest. And what you find is that only 8% of the total violent crimes in those cities result in arrest. And only 1% of the property crimes in those cities result in arrest. And just because somebody's arrested, not everybody who gets arrested gets charged. And not everybody who gets charged gets prosecuted or convicted. And so what you're talking about is that we're in an era right now where essentially criminals have almost nothing to worry about for committing violent or especially property crimes in large parts of the country. And there's reasons why law enforcement has collapsed. But basically what you have happen is that as law enforcement's collapsed, some people have kind of given up on going to the police. And so that's the reason why you've seen a huge drop, or you've seen a drop in reporting crime, even though total crime has gone up. And the reason why total crime's gone up is because criminals don't have anything to worry about.
And that would explain why we're seeing a lot more brazen attacks. It's almost this open calling card for criminals. And John, I have to wonder if the overbearing burdens of prosecutors might have something to do with crimes not effectively getting prosecuted. I know here in our community, we are short attorneys in our prosecutor's office, so it puts a lot on the shoulders of just a few attorneys, and so some of those cases are kind of slipping through the cracks.
Right. Well, I mean, you've had issues with regard to the attorneys. You've had issues with regard to police officers that are there. You've had defunding the police. You have places like New York City that cut $1 billion from their police budget back in 2020 alone. You have Chicago cut the number of police officers they had by 400 positions in 2020 alone. And also you've had huge numbers of retirements of police across the country. Even in the last year or so, when they've tried to go back and hire more police officers in lots of places, they haven't been able to hire enough people to replace all the retirements. And in any case, hiring somebody who may have been around for 6 months or a year, they don't have the experience and not going to be anywhere near as effective as a police officer who had 10 or 15 or 20 years worth of experience on the job there. And so, you've also had police being demoralized. I mean, you mentioned prosecutors, and that plays a significant role in all this. In some places, it's because prosecutors are refusing to prosecute violent criminals. And others, in your area, you're saying they just don't have the resources to go and prosecute them. But if police arrest somebody and the person's immediately released, it kind of eliminates the incentives for police officers to go and do the arrests in the first place if they don't think that it's going to matter.
Well, and police have such a difficult job. Every single day they are stepping into dangerous situations. And so as you were talking about this demoralizing, it really kind of struck a chord with me. We're getting to this place where I think a lot of people are just saying no to the idea of putting on that uniform because they take so much criticism.
Well, I mean, there's been a big increase in the number of early retirements for police over the last few years. I mean, it's been a huge change. Obviously police faced a dangerous job to begin with. There's been changes in what they're allowed to do. A lot of more paperwork requirements have been imposed on police officers in many places. In Chicago, every time a police officer talks to anybody, they have to fill out 2 legal pages worth of forms about who they talked to, why they talked to them, what they talked to them about, where they were when they talked to them. And it takes about an hour to fill out the form. So you go and talk to 4 people in the morning, your whole afternoon is taken up filling out paperwork. And, it's effectively the same thing as just removing police officers from the street. So, you look at a city like New York City, in part because of the budget changes, but retirements, huge number of retirements for the reasons that you're talking about. They've gone from over 40,000 police officers to 20,000 police officers. That's a huge change. And, you know, it's not too surprising that you've seen an increase in crime. And so you have fewer officers going out and trying to deal with even more crimes that are occurring.
Right. And let me ask you this. I mean, you're dealing with this stuff day in and day out in the work that you do. What do you see as a possible solution for this really big problem?
Well, I think the solutions are obvious. You're going to have to, I mean, it's multiple fold. You're going to have to go and hire more police. You're going to have to replace these district attorneys in many areas who are refusing to prosecute violent criminals. You're going to have to give law enforcement generally more resources. And look, district attorneys and judges are elected locally. Decisions about police staffing and policing rules are determined locally. You know, people in those jurisdictions are going to have to decide who they want to vote for in these things. You know, one of the things that happened during COVID was during 2020 to 2022, you had judges in many parts of this country releasing huge numbers of inmates from local jails. I mean, some counties, you had as much as two-thirds of the inmates being released. And the problem is that, you know, even in 2020, we understood that it was basically just older people, like over 65, who were at risk. The people that are in jails are mainly 18 to early 30s. You know, these are not high-risk individuals. And yet, even though we knew that and clearly knew that, you still had liberal judges in many parts of the country releasing huge numbers of inmates well into 2022. And so, you know, you get, if the question is, if you're going to be serious about this, how you're going to, you know, it's going to take many things. And, you know, Biden talks about gun violence all the time. That's been his focus. But what most people don't seem to understand is that 92% of violent crime has absolutely nothing to do with guns. And the way you reduce gun violence is the same way you reduce violent, the other 92% of violent crime. And that is, you know, you've got to make it risky for criminals to engage in crime. You know, higher arrest rates, higher conviction rates, longer prison sentences. You know, we recently did kind of a study on these artificial intelligence chatbots to go and ask them, you know, what policies they support in terms of crime reduction or gun control. And, you know, there are 20 of these chatbots out there. And we'd ask them questions like, do higher arrest rates and higher conviction rates deter crime? Do longer prison sentences deter crime? And amazingly, the only one that kind of was supportive of those things was Elon Musk's Grok. All the other U.S. chatbots were strongly against the notion that higher arrest rates or conviction rates would reduce violent crime.
Interesting. So AI definitely showing kind of a left-wing bias on crime and gun control.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, look, I'm an economist, and to me, the notion that if you want to reduce something, you make it more costly. Higher, you know, you increase the price of apples, people buy fewer apples. You make it riskier for criminals to commit crime with higher arrest rates or higher conviction rates or longer prison sentences. You will reduce the amount of crime that you have there. So it's kind of hard for me to get my mind around what seems to be a very common view among a lot of politicians that, you know, deterrence doesn't matter, that making it costly for criminals to commit crime, not just in terms of law enforcement, but the irony is the same people who don't think that higher arrest rates or conviction rates reduce crime also want to make it difficult for individuals to be able to go and protect themselves. You know, I would go and argue, you know, just as higher arrest rates and conviction rates reduce crime, so does allowing individuals to protect themselves with a gun also makes it riskier for criminals to commit crime. But obviously, there are people who don't want to make it risky or don't think it matters to make it risky for criminals to commit crime in any different way.
So true. And, you know, I mean, criminals are looking for vulnerable targets. And so we have got to definitely, I think, take a stronger approach, because you're exactly right. Criminals, by their very nature, do not follow the law. So gun control isn't really going to deter them. But if they fear, perhaps, that somebody they're about to attack might have a gun, perhaps that could make a difference.
No, exactly.
Well, John Lott, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, it has been a pleasure chatting with you. Thanks for shedding some light on all of this for us.
Oh, thank you very much. People can find more at our website at crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org. But thank you.
Thank you.